This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, Casey, enough. I mean, you're sending me all kinds of things. So as much as we do love you interacting with the show, 0797482090, we can't play audio, we can't play videos. And Casey, you carry on with your rats, bud.
Is there more rat stuff coming in?
Don't necessarily want to see it. But you know what? Science, it's a beautiful thing. In the first hour, we spoke about stem cell treatments and how they've actually proven to cure HIV. Two people have gone through the stem cell treatment for this. There's a rather unanimated man on the internet that you can see interviewed about this.
Yeah.
But it's progress. It really is progress.
It's now a case, I mean, you hear these things and then only years later it's really available to the man on the street. Yeah. But it's progress, no doubt.
No, I'm really excited about that. Also, you know, we're speaking about, we've had this many discussions. I mean, Gord had a great laugh about this recently around vaccination. You know, there's still people out there that believe that vaccinations are bad for your kids and
yes.
It causes autism, despite the fact there's been literally hundreds of thousands of tests that that's not what vaccination does.
Exactly. And of course, all the horror stories are coming out now from parents who decided not to vaccinate.
Yes.
And their children who are now in their teens or early adulthood are getting diseases like measles, which when you have as an adult can be really debilitating. The one story I read, the young adult was infected with measles and her hospitalization ran into a year. She had to relearn how to walk. The damage was just really incredible, and this anti-vax parent finally after 2 decades said, okay, maybe this wasn't a good idea. So that's the thing, is that these decisions are being made now by these parents, and it seems to be the trend. But I think we're going to be hearing about the effects of not vaccinating children for decades to come.
Yeah, well, that's just it. That's just it. It's stupidity, Leanne. You've got to get let go of it. I don't know when stupidity became so fashionable. People feel they've got to be part of it. Just go for the science, go for the facts when in doubt, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Italy have taken the step that you can't – this is interesting. They are saying if your kid is not vaccinated, they will not be allowed into school.
Okay,
simple,
so they put their foot down.
So they have. I mean, they put their foot down, and it's great to see people who are making more decisive decisions in life rather than just trying to not offend people, which is obviously the wrong way to go about life. We've learned this over the last 10 years. We all had a dabble of being politically correct. We've all had a dabble of this whole being sensitive and all this kind of stuff. But there are just some things that are in black and white. And I think we can just move on from this child vaccination thing now. So Italy are taking the stand. And apparently Iceland actually won't let you into the country unless you've been vaccinated.
Oh, wow.
This is another story that's developing this week. So, yeah, Italy's taking that big step. Obviously, the people will be offended by that. But as you heard in the first hour, don't be offended.
Jeez, I mean, if you had to go visit Iceland just per chance, would you be able to find your vaccination certificates from yonks ago? If you got them?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question, Leanne. You were going to tell the story about a granddad that's not having a great day.
Very, very brave Aussie. He has recently shared his dramatic survival story on a podcast called How I Survived. And it's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. He accidentally chainsawed his own face in half. Okay.
Doing what?
Well, he was chainsawing, chopping wood, out.
I'm guessing he got it going and the thing was heavier than he thought and it came back on his face. I've operated a chainsaw before.
Yeah, they can go a little bit wild. This is what he says. I had 2 chainsaws, one small one, one big one. I got the big saw out, started it up, and of course it roared into action. Instead of tearing through the wood, however, the whizzing chain bounced off the log and kicked back towards his face. The razor sharp saw penetrated his mouth, cut through his bottom lip, gouged all the way to his wisdom teeth. He said he actually heard the crack. He didn't feel anything at the time. He just thought, oh, my goodness. So he managed to get himself into his ute.
Yeah, that's like a bucky in Aussie talk.
Yeah. And with his mangled face, he kind of feverishly pressed a handkerchief into the wound. He just remembered saying, like, what's next? He realized that he couldn't call for help because his tongue had been ripped into two. So he couldn't talk. So once he dragged himself to his truck, he listened to this. He created a makeshift sling and used his other arm to steer himself almost 20 miles to the hospital. He says, what was I supposed to do? Sit myself down at the base of a tree and lean back and wait for the lights to go out? Well, the surgeon,
that's such a story.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, there are pictures. They're not, it's not, you know, obviously once the accident had happened, they're after he's been operated on. The wound is extensive. It goes all the way from his eye socket across to his neck. It's like a downward angled wound. The surgeon who led the team that fixed his face said that Singleton might not have made it if he'd caught a good look at himself in his vehicle's rearview mirror.
That's a really good point because you were going to absolute shock.
Yeah, he said, I think somewhat ignorance was the savior of the day.
Yeah.
A savior, rather, and a good old Aussie Guts. That was the head of the maxillofacial surgery at the Royal Melbourne Hospital.
God, he is going to look like a disaster now, huh?
Well, he doesn't look too bad. He's had a few surgeries. In the first surgery, it took obviously hours for the surgeons to put his face back together. He lost most of his teeth, and his jaw had to be fixed with a metal plate. Apparently, he'd become extremely close to severing his carotid artery and his larynx, but he didn't do that.
That's instant death.
That would have been, he would have.
If you clip that.
Yeah. And it took, the whole thing is it actually took him weeks to learn how to walk again because there was nerve damage to his body and his, you know, obviously parts of the nerves which help you walk. And pass on the message from the brain. His tongue has been left permanently numb. But apparently just within a few days of release from hospital, he was out and about again looking for firewood. So 3 years on, he has since undergone two more surgical...
Can someone just buy this guy a heater?
Yeah, can he please stop chopping wood?
Any family left that's going to stop this guy chopping wood?
Gosh. So 3 years on, he's undergone two more surgical procedures to fix his metal jawline and also to prepare his gums for a fresh set of teeth. So he'll be looking good in no time.
Sure.
And he said the worst thing about the whole ordeal was that he was forced to change his diet. According to his wife, he's just dying for a steak. Aussie guts right there.
Yeah,
hey?
But that's the thing, like, you know, when you try DIY and you get on a bit. It's quite difficult. Mm. Do you know that Daniel Radcliffe is making a movie about apartheid South Africa?
I didn't know it was about that. I know that he was on set. And
Escape from Pretoria is a movie that he's currently in about a guy who breaks out of prison during apartheid.
All I heard was he's sporting a new look with like long hair and.
I mean, he looks creepy as well.
Yeah, it looks quite creepy.
He really does.
I didn't know it was a South African thing.
Yeah.
Is it being filmed here? One wonders.
The whole deal, huh? So Radcliffe's character, basically, they were branded terrorists and thrown in jail in 1978. And, this looks really interesting.
Please, I hope he's not doing a South African accent.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I can't find a clip where he actually talks, but that would be so interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to know what his accent's like.
No, it's always bad.
Yeah.
Not just his, obviously.
No, of course. Thomas James, the only guy who can really get it, he's been the best on the movie Stunder. Otherwise, everyone else. Leonardo DiCaprio with all his money and all that kind of stuff. Not so amazing. Mm. You know, people talk about the whole Facebook losing users, the exit away from Facebook, the privacy thing.
Yes.
Well, apparently it's a bit more real than we...
Possible.
Oh, shit, sorry. It's a bit more real than we maybe thought. You know, people are always going about this kind of stuff. You think, oh, well, you know, next week it's going to blow over and everything's going to be the way it was. No. Facebook had lost 15 million users since 2017. 15 million users.
It's a lot of users, but just yesterday I was checking out the stats in South Africa when it comes to social media usage. And, you know, in the last year, Facebook was, it grew exponentially in South Africa. What was interesting is that it's still the most used social media network in South Africa,
yeah.
particularly because of the free version that you can use on your phone without data.
Oh, really?
That's really pushing up the usage stats in South Africa. So, yeah, no decline whatsoever in South Africa, but just continued growth.
Yeah, like I guess in like third world countries that go in and out of having electricity, like the one we find are in, not so great on the story. But yeah, obviously you focus on America where people are so paranoid about their privacy now and fake news, and obviously Zuckerberg being so close to home there. But Facebook's also actually gaining popularity on people who are 55 and up. So the chainsaw guy, he's probably on
prime
Facebook
candidate
now,
for Facebook,
talking about the fact he chainsawed his face. It is interesting, but I had no idea that you can actually get free Facebook.
Yeah, that is an option. And just while we're on that, it's interesting to note that Instagram was the biggest grower, with I think 78% growth in South Africa particularly. And then Twitter's growth has completely stalled in South Africa. It grew by 3.8%, which is negligible.
Well, it's growing faster than our economy. That's not even
that's true.
But now have you heard of TikTok?
Is it an Asian thing?
So TikTok basically had the fastest growth in the third quarter last year of all social media. It beat everyone as far as growth is concerned. I try to work it out. I still don't know what TikTok is. It's a video kind of sharing thing where you can react and the engagement's apparently.
Yeah, I actually did look it up but I couldn't figure it out myself.
This is the constant threat that like Zuckerberg and all these social media things have, is that because they became so popular so quickly, they can also, you know, fall away so quickly as well as people migrate and move, because the internet, just think, everything happens so much faster on the internet because it's in the cloud, so to speak. It's not like back in the day, if you were going to go to a rival bar, you would physically have to move yourself to like another town or go somewhere. If you're going to use something, you just click something.
Yeah.
So it's instant.
Yeah.
So if you are on TikTok, please let me know what it is, because I still can't quite work it out.
It is an Asian thing. It's known as Douyin in China. It's a media app for creating and sharing short videos owned by ByteDance, B-Y-T-E Dance. But and it was apparently launched in 2016.
People have tried this and it's crashed and burned. What is making TikTok such a big deal? I don't know. I don't know. I need to be educated on this. So in the first hour, we spoke about kids in school and how they are so quickly shown, like, you know, you can be offended by this and that. And this is an offense culture that we know is just rife around the world. And this is obviously a big topic that we have here on the show, because we don't like where it's going with us. We want free speech to always be what's out there. We had a lot of messages earlier about Pumi on a Thursday, which kind of opened a bit of a floodgate towards her views and people not really taking to him very well. But it's about not being offended in this world. Get the conversations out there, but obviously back up your conversations with substance. Dave Chappelle is another guy who just speaks amazing truths, like the woman in the first hour who I believe should run the world. Now, Dave Chappelle has some interesting insights around racism, which obviously is the most offensive thing in this country, I would gather. But here's Dave Chappelle's thoughts on this.
Hey, baby, so. You know, that's just my grandmother used to sing that when she cleaning up. That's a Negro spiritual. Black work song. Not everybody know about that. I know. See, white people, you guys might whistle when you work. You dig? But that's how you can tell what kind of work we're actually doing. Study that kind of I do. Anything that has to do with race, I read a little here, see a little there, and I travel. That's always good. Traveling has made me a racism connoisseur, if you will. You know, it's different from region to region. Anyone ever been down south? So you guys know what I'm talking about. And the racism down there is just perfect. Stew to a perfection. It's comfortable. It's out in the open. There are no secrets in Mississippi. Everybody knows the deal. Morning, nigga. Morning, sir. Not up here. You hit the big cities, man. It's different. It's always a secret. And we should do like them. We should keep our shit on open, then a little. I mean, with limits. You don't want to say whatever comes to your mind. That might be a little much. White dude be walking down the street, minding his business. And the brother walk up to him. Hello. You white oppressor, you slave master rapist of Africa. Why, hello, my thick lip spear chucking friend. Touche, honky. So, Whitey, what did you do today, huh? Oppress a new land and make the people there Christians against their will? What did you do, fellow? Burn those big black lips on a crack pipe because you missed your job interview? Easy, Whitey, you're cutting deep. All this chit-chat has got me thirsty. You will excuse me for a moment. I'm going to go to the Korean store and get something to drink. Chilling. Hello. You slanted-eyed, ruining the economy in our neighborhood by opening stores and taking the money out the community. Chink. Wow. Good afternoon, you browse around but never buy anything. Suspicious looking nigga. After a while, that might be too much. But you can't help it. If you're an American, you're a racist. We brought up from the beginning to think in generalizations. We never look at the individual. We rarely look at the individual. I'm a racist. I know I'm a racist. You know how I know? The other day, I caught myself being racist against myself. There's so much getting on, I got mixed up. Forgot whose team I was on. One time I was reading the paper, man, this story came on about this guy was suing a department store because they wouldn't let him play Santa Claus, you know, because he's black. And I was actually, like, relieved when the department store beat him. That's bad. But I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for the idea of a black Santa Claus, man. That shit would suck. So we wouldn't get our presents till the 28th, 29th. Sorry I'm late, kids. Santa got caught up with some bass.
Dave Chappelle is like one of the few guys that can cut through all the offensive stuff.
Jeez, I don't know how he gets away with it.
Him and Ricky Gervais. Now, have you watched Ricky Gervais' new show?
No. What is it?
It's apparently amazing. It's just like the greatest new show on, what do you call it, Netflix?
Yeah.
Afterlife. I'm going to start watching this weekend.
Afterlife.
So apparently TikTok, as to our very switched on listeners, it's an app. It used to be called Musical.ly, now it's TikTok. You basically do actions and dances and singing based on the sound bites loaded on the app. Why would you want to do that? TikTok's for tweens. My 10-year-old sister uses it.
Okay, that explains things.
They play music and you mime the word and do whatever you think should go with it. Pretty sure it's popular because of the kids. All you have to do is have iPads and phones. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. So we've discovered the whole TikTok mystery.
Something that's quite exciting is that a lion in the Karoo that escaped a month ago from the Karoo National Park has been found a month later. Just to give you an idea.
How did the news have gone for a month? Did they do a roll call and he wasn't there?
That's exactly what happened, Ben. And
did they see him leave? Like, oh, shit, there goes that lion. Then he comes back.
Yeah, exactly. So this is to give you an idea of how much a lone lion can roam. How far they can roam in a month. He was found...
Like all cats.
Like, oh, yeah, exactly. Except they come back. You know what I mean? They roam the neighborhood and then they go home again. This dude didn't. He was found 260 kilometers from his former home.
Okay, but you know, when a cat roams, they kind of run around at nighttime, and a cat is the size of your handbag. When a lion roams,
you 260 km, Ben.
But you kind of notice it. Where was he? What was he doing?
Well, who knows? He escaped under the park fence near Beaufort West on the 15th of February. Trackers have been on the case since, following somewhat of a trail of destruction, because the lion preyed on a few farmers' sheep and even took down an earland. So it seems like he was kind of well-fed and he found some farm animals to sink his teeth into.
Well, he was being a lion.
Yeah, exactly. Backup for the trackers was called in with a number of helicopters put to use. So he was actually dubbed Mufasa, this lion. He was finally found just outside Sutherland. He was successfully darted and taken into a holding cell where vets are observing him right now. So, yeah, it was just outside the town of Sutherland. The lion will be put back into the Karoo National Park, already has just yesterday, actually. And according to reports, this animal has set a new record for the longest lion escape in South African history. Thank goodness he was in a place where there were animals, farm animals, and not just humans, like in a city.
But there was also a story yesterday about a lion escaped from the Kruger Park and had to spend the night in jail. They literally, until he could be taken back to the
park. Human jail?
Yeah.
So see, I suppose, where do you lock up a lion?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, I've got a cat box, but he ain't going to fit in there.
Staggering, huh? Staggering. You know that lions used to live everywhere in this country? As in, like, the Cape, on the coast. Like, the entire country was covered in lions. And now they're, like, there's a couple in the Karoo and then obviously the Kruger Park.
I have this recurring dream that I'm staying in a chalet somewhere on holiday. And as I open the stable door, there are just about 10 to 100 lions just surrounding me, walking around freely, keeping me entrapped in this chalet. It's like a recurring kind of nightmare dream. Even though I love lions, it's a weird, scary dream.
Leanne, that is very bizarre. You might see nowadays there's quite a lot of Bernie Sanders on, what do you call it, the news.
Right.
You know, Bernie's, just to give you some understanding, again, we're going back to, I know this touches on politics, but we're talking about one of Bernie's big things is that everyone should just be taxed and the poor should not be poor and the rich are just way too rich.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of crackpot theories around this. But here's one that maybe can be considered as far as, look, I still believe tax is theft. I think all these theories are stupid, but it's also good to have a conversation around what could be done better because all the wrong options have kind of been utilized. And this whole thing of thinking that the rich are just endlessly rich and you can just keep taxing them, well, that's not going to work. It's just not smart.
This is a chart of the wealth of every single American household. That includes cars, houses, yachts, jewelry, and even cold hard cash. It also includes things we owe other people, like student loans. So let's take a quick tour of American household wealth. We can start over here, where we see people who owe way more than they have. As we move further right, we can see, oh, that's me. And there's my doctor, who owns an expensive home. And there's former heavyweight boxer Mike Tyson. But when we get to the very richest people in the world, oh hey, it's Beyonce, we can zoom out so far that this chart looks like a stick, and we still can't see the top of their wealth. Because these people are so much wealthier than the rest of us. In other words, this chart doesn't just show wealth, it shows the staggering wealth inequality we have in America. But recently, politicians have been talking about an idea that's never been done before in America. To even out wealth, we should tax it. In January, Senator Elizabeth Warren proposed something called a wealth tax. This was a big deal. Because this doesn't typically get taxed. Most of the taxes we pay only happen when money changes hands. Like when we earn money or spend money. But according to Warren, here's the problem with that. This bar represents my wealth, and this is my friend's wealth. I think he owns a yacht. But because both of us have the same job and earn about the same amount of money, our income gets taxed about the same.
Two people who may have the same income, but are in wildly different economic circumstances.
So to fix it, Warren wants to tax the actual wealth people have, but only for the very, very rich. Here's her proposal. All the wealth above this line, $50 million, would be taxed at 2% each year. All the wealth above this line, $1 billion, would be taxed at 3%. So if you have $40 million, you'd pay nothing.
Oh.
If you have $60 million, you'd pay nothing on your first $50 million,
oh.
But 2% on the $10 million after that, or $200,000. And if you have $2 billion, you'd pay about $49 million. So what would happen if we imposed Senator Warren's tax? Well, only the richest 0.05% of Americans would pay this tax. But in 2016, the government could have raised about $200 billion from it. That could pay for a plan that makes public college tuition free three times over. It could pay for all federal food assistance programs, like food stamps, two times over. It could get close to cutting child poverty by 60%. These are massive programs that would help millions of people. And what makes that possible is the huge amount of wealth stuck here at the very, very top with the ultra-rich. A wealth tax hones in on that.
We started this.
I still say bollocks. Your money is your money. Why do we have to have all this money come from tax? Because some people are just not putting their weight in life.
You have to conform sometimes, Ben.
No bollocks. You know, like,
think of the roads you drive on and how they're maintained. If you look,
sure.
If it's being managed properly. But let's imagine in a world where our tax money is managed properly.
I get that, but that's like a base kind of tax thing. The fact that they're trying to get all these elaborate schemes with fancy people on YouTube now to find more ways of doing, it's just theft. That's all there is to it.
Mm. Okay, so just news just in is that stage 2 load shedding is confirmed for today. So go onto your Eskom Push app and just check what's happening. Apparently that goes on until 11 p.m. tonight, so it's basically the whole day. I wanted to look at, I'm seeing it more and more, obviously, as I get older and I have my own business, but the disconnect between millennials and not ourselves, but even the older generation, the baby boomers,
yeah,
who are now, like, you know, entering retirement age. They're at the peak of experience that they will ever have in the workplace. And they're still dealing with, still having to deal with millennials coming into the workplace. And it all boils down to work ethic.
Yeah.
And the difference is absolutely astonishing, really. It's wildly different. Millennials are entering a professional world where their realities are completely different from the one that boomers knew. You know, and the whole idea of baby boomers is that they believe millennials are entitled and lazy, but apparently that's not true at all. It's just that they're different. The two's realities are different. Their priorities are different as well, and they have come to expect their environment to have different demands. So, for example, millennials actually expect to be fired or let go regularly. So they want work that is directly in line with their own career equity, which are the skills and experiences that help them improve their career prospects. So they know that their time is limited. They don't invest in doing things outside of their own path. Boomers, however, are used to working hard for a company in exchange for long-term investment in skill development and for security, like a retirement fund or a pension.
Hmm.
So what are millennials working for? They do work incredibly hard. That's what's coming out in statistics, obviously, and we see it all around us. We don't need the stats. But first, a millennial needs to feel like what they're working toward aligns with their own goals and their aspirations. You know, and that kind of sounds foreign to boomers, because boomers come from a world where they were expected to pay their dues,
yeah,
by working hard on whatever the company needed. So if it was coffee girl, then you were a coffee girl. Well, you know, with the expectation that the company would then reward them in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But now millennials will work hard when they're given opportunities that help them provide for themselves without any kind of a deal. So, yeah, it's just a case of bridging the divide with being able to understand how differently we operate. And, of course, Ben, you and I are neither millennial nor boomer, but this obviously looks at the two extremes in the workplace.
Where's millennials?
Yes.
Bollocks. I think we should drop all this kind of crap. Labels.
It's they're labels, but I mean it's the truth.
Yeah, I guess. You know, trying to get back to that lion story very quickly.
Oh yeah.
They had to reroute the Karoo Marathon
because
they've
got the moving target. They're
like,
for the lion.
There's a very good chance that where the route is going this year, that there's going to be a lion on it. So they had to reroute them.
Imagine you lying in the bushes watching all these
so fantastic.
Bits of meat run past.
But, I mean, he must have had the best month of his life because when a lion can run like this and do his own thing, like, there's just, like, chunky, like, animals, and to have all these humans running by would have been too much for him.
He also didn't have to worry about any rivals. He kind of had full reign. When after he'd eaten an entire ear lunch, it was all for himself. He didn't have to share it with anyone.
Oh, the stories he's going to have when he goes back to his pride. You guys won't believe it. There was ear lunch out there. I saw all kinds of things.
I ate full sheep all by myself. I didn't have to share.
I had Karoo lamb.
Oh, my word.
You guys
are Shane, those poor lambs. I mean, they're not used to predators at all. Their eyes must have popped out of their sockets. When they saw this lion coming up, that they'd never seen anything like it in their lives.
That's
shame.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, okay, a little bit of Friday fun. We don't all believe in zodiacs. I certainly don't. But when I do read them,
I thought you were the one who did believe it in the show, Leanne.
In the show?
Yeah.
I don't believe in zodiacs.
A zodiac touch point.
No, definitely not. But I do use them, you know, to my advantage, where it gives me time to reflect. And this is one of those, and it doesn't really matter whether you believe in it or not. These are one-word mantras that you need for this month, according to your zodiac sign. So, Ben, what are we? What are you?
I'm a Sagittarian.
So, your mantra word for this month is give. The explanation is you don't have to save the entire world to do some good, although it would be nice if you could. Even if it's just helping your sister move, your contributions will be felt.
All right.
Can you apply it?
Sure, but I think my sister's happy where she is, though.
Just an example. Pinky, what star sign is Pinky?
What happened to Pinky? Pinky,
is he around?
We've lost her.
Okay.
No,
there is.
I'm a Leo.
Leo. So yeah. Your mantra word for March is voice.
Voice.
So you're usually demonstrative, but before you launch into the grand gesture, see if you can plainly articulate how you feel. So cut back on those words and just go with the basics. Hear yourself out loud, and that might change the way you wish to proceed. It's basically telling you to shut up.
Yeah, Pinky, you say way too much around here. All day, it's just, it's Pinky going on again. Natter, natter, natter.
And if you're like me, Gemini, your mantra word for March is heart. The explanation there is you're a curious bird, but keep your time and energy focused only on what you care about.
You're a curious bird. Didn't some 1960s man write this?
No, it was actually written by a woman. She is an astrologer writer in Brooklyn, Kiki O'Keefe. So I think she means like in the literal sense. Yeah. So she's saying, you know, focus your energy only on what you care about, not just what captures your attention. Saying yes to distractions is saying no to what's really important. I like that. Okay. I'll use that. I'm not doing anyone any harm.
I agree. So, Leanne, yes. This is from Riette, says, I'm a baby boomer, 57.
Yeah.
I thought my 18-year-old late lamb was never going to make matric with the random way she operated and studied. Well, I was wrong. Somehow, she is a straight-A student without applying any of the methods I did back in the day. Yeah, see, this is a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, you know, like they always say, like 60% of the jobs that people are going to have haven't been invented yet, all that kind of crap. There's just different ways of going about things, different ways of applying yourself.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the discussion we had in the first hour about being more fluid with life and obviously adapting like water, is that, you know, there are solutions for things that we'll never comprehend because of our fundamental upbringing.
That's the thing, and we need to accept that millennials will get it right. They are getting it right, and they are successful, and they're doing great, and they're working hard. They just do it in a completely different way to how we're used to or how baby boomers are used to.
Yeah. 3D printing has been a big deal. Now it seems like a surgeon's actually pioneering an artificial ear.
Jeez.
Yeah, Professor. Where is this? In Pretoria, I think it is. Yeah, at the Steve Biko Academy Hospital, the first.
That's amazing.
Middle ear transplant using a 3D printed bone. There are some critics that are coming out, and obviously have some doubts around this. But no, I think it's happening. Again,
I'm all for it.
And all these are really, really good things. It's all happening.
If anyone could print me a liver, that would be great.
We need to get George Meany on the line. So what we can do
is he not coming in?
No, he's going to be on Skype. So there's a trick I just learned. In order to get George Meany on the line, you've actually got to play George Ezra's song. That's for real. Tell you what, after the song, George will be on the line. So
okay,
it's true.
We'll see.
I feel your head resting heavy on your single bed. I want to hear all about you. Get to your love, your chest too. I feel the tears and you're not alone. When I hold you, well, I won't let go. Why should we care for what they're selling us anyway? We're so young, girl, and you know. You don't have to be there, babe. You don't have to be scared, babe. You don't need a plan of what you want to do. Won't you listen to the man that's loving you? Your world keeps spinning and you can't jump off, but I will catch you if you fall. I can't tell you enough. I hate to hear that you're feeling low. I hate to hear that you won't come home. Oh, why should we care for what they're selling us anyway? We're so young, girl, and you know.
And I told you my trick works. Because
we
got George. George?
How's it, Ben?
Yeah, I told you. You play George Ezra song, you get George Meany. Good, George. How you been?
Very good, very good. That was a very relaxing song, I must say. I was like sitting here thinking, don't switch it off, don't switch it off.
Yeah, George, we've had a torrid time today. Obviously, it's Friday. And Leanne and I started the day as we normally do when no one else is here.
The world just threw shit news at us.
We just realized we haven't got a single positive story for a day. Like the best story the best story we've had today, I reckon, has been stem cells cured HIV and they found the Karoo lion.
Yeah. That's as good as it gets.
As good as it gets. So what's happening in the world of motoring? It's obviously a lot more exciting than that.
Well, we had the testing days in the last week, Tuesday and Wednesday for the Auto Trader South African Car of the Year. And some positive news is that every car is a contender. I went around that track. As a matter of fact, I thought some of the jury judges were going to kill me because they went around that track like they were Michael Schumacher. But there were no incidents or accidents, and I was pretty impressed that these jurors could drive. My word, they took that track on, attacked every corner, put these cars through their paces. My favorite car to have gone in on Tuesday was the Honda Type R, which is a phenomenal little pocket rocket. I'd never own one, unfortunately. You know, if I was 25, I would.
George, just to kind of start off, I just want to kind of run through the list in case people don't know. So it's the Alfa Romeo Stelvio. Gosh, that sounds exotic. Huh?
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Something that Fabio would drive.
Yeah. Oh, just I'd take you for a drive in my Stelvio. Then there's, as you mentioned, the Honda Civic Type R. There's the Hyundai Kona, the Lexus ES. Is that an electric car? A hybrid?
No, it's not. So, there aren't any electric cars on this year's, but I'm sure there will be next year.
We've got the Mercedes-Benz A-Class, the Mitsubishi Pajero Sport, the Nissan Micra, Porsche Cayenne, Renault Duster, Suzuki Jimny, Suzuki Swift, and the Volvo XC40. And you believe that they've all got a bit of a chance?
I think they've all got a bit of a chance. I was impressed with the Suzuki Jimny's hill climbing ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the stuff that these cars went through were unbelievable, but the Jimny is very, very capable. The last thing I like, well, the thing I like about the Jimny is it is a driver's 4x4. So, you know, there a lot of people would probably choose other four-wheel drives or other very capable off-road cars because they've got all the electronics and they can do all the stuff themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas the Jimny, it's got some electronics, but you've really got to drive that car, but it's very capable, very, very capable.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm impressed with the Jimny.
George, I mean, you are of, I would say, decent height. Apologies if this is a stupid question, but is the Jimny just a little bit just a little bit too small, though? I mean, like, what are you? You're like 5'10". You get into a Jimny. Like, do you feel like it's just too small, though?
No. So I think if you're a little bit on the rugby player size side, yes.
Okay.
But average height like me, I find it problematic. I actually found it just a little bit less spacious than the Jeep Wrangler.
All right.
You know, it wasn't bad. I actually, now that you mention it, that thought did cross my mind, and it would have if I'd got into that car and it was too small.
Okay, so obviously, you know, speaking of track elements, cars like the Honda Civic Type are going to come into their own, but you're not going to look at a Hyundai Kona and say, oh, cheap as a track element, because that's not their strong point, right? So, I mean, how varied is the criteria as far as getting your winner with this?
It's very varied. So cars are not judged on the basis of how fast they can go around the track. I mean, the track was merely used to test cars' suspension, rollover, ability to brake. One personal observation was, I'm not going to say which car it was, because I don't want to create any bias in the mind of people, but there was one particular car who, after going around the track at breakneck speed, going through the cones, then there was the brake test, and this car's brakes turned a little bit spongy.
I know.
Which was surprising to me because this particular car, I didn't expect its brakes, and it wasn't the Type R. I didn't expect its brakes to turn spongy. So the testing is very varied. It's not just about, you know, can the thing go around the track and can it handle. Suspension is tested, brakes are tested, because stopping a car is as important as acceleration.
Well, yeah, exactly. is there any, obviously you aren't a judge because you don't want to put yourself in that position to, you know, be too impartial or whatever, but is there any car that you look at and you feel it kind of got the edge in other ones?
So, I went into, onto the day with the favorite being, well, my favorite, personal favorite being the Volvo XC40.
Right.
Now, the Volvo XC40 is still my personal, one of my personal favorites, but I was suitably impressed with the A250. I wasn't a fan of the A-Class Merc going into that test day, but after experiencing the car, I think that's one of my favorites as well.
Okay. George, do you often see a bit of a spike as well? I mean, obviously, you guys monitor, you know what's on AutoTrader itself. But, I mean, something like this, obviously, you get more traffic to your site, more traffic to your platform. But, like, is this a really big sort of thing for car brands in general to have this much spotlight on them as far as, like, interest in purchases?
Yes, it is. But you've got to, like any marketing thing, you've got to work it. You get exponential value out of working the fact that it is a finalist or if it becomes a car of the year. So as a manufacturer, if the fact that they're in the finalists or they become car of the year is just left and disappears into the ether, there's no big uptake. There's no uptake on the car of the year. But if they actually use it to their advantage, the incremental benefit is there. So what we do find is that when we place emphasis on the 12 finalists or on the final car of the year car, there is an exponential bit of value. To give you an example, up to now we've reached 25 million people. Just on these 12 finalists.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is impressive. It's so that's the example of, marketing a car that is not part of a competition like this versus marketing a car that is part of a competition like this.
All right.
But if you do nothing, you still get nothing. That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And how involved are the actual manufacturers? I mean, is it simply a case of these are the votes, can I please have these cars to test? Or, I mean, are they also kind of just pushing as well?
No. So the manufacturers are very involved, different ones to varying degrees. Germany had their entire team there supporting their car on the testing day. They were at the test day dinner. Volvo was there. Many others were there. I mean, I'm not going to go through all 12, but they send people at different levels to varying degrees, and they support their car in varying ways, but they all support their car.
Okay. Wow, this really does sound like quite an event of all the best in cars.
It is, and it's exciting. I mean, I've never been to a test day. Since Auto Trader is now the headline sponsor of this. Of this competition, I'm fortunate enough to attend the test days and to observe the judging process, and it's an intricate thing. These journalists are the one thing I did notice though is some of the journalists are middle aged. Not that that's a bad thing, because you and I are middle aged, Ben. But some of these judges are middle-aged, and I got in next to one or two judges who were in their 50s, and this little boyish grin and sparkle in their eyes came out when they were driving out onto Kyalami to go and test the car. So these people are passionate about cars, testing cars, and the motoring industry. So I think all of that works in this recipe of the end result being the final car really deserves its win.
Well, that's just the great thing about cars as well, is that no matter how old you are, they always have the ability to kind of reinvigorate that childhood sort of charms and
yeah, and enthusiasm. It doesn't matter how much older you're getting and how slower you run or walk, a car will always get you the speed that you're looking for.
It does, and Leanne, just out of interest, there were two female judges that I went around the track with, and are as capable, if not better, around that track than a lot of the guys.
I was remembering the other day I did a top billing skit with Michael Mole. It was the two moles racing against each other in a Ferrari, and we played some of the 5FM DJs were. Allowed to play around in the Ferraris the day before. I don't know if I should mention names, but Sasha Martinengo and NF. And I actually beat Sasha's time, which was really amazing.
Oh, wow.
I must say, I had Gugu Zulu, who was in the car with me, coaching me at the stage, and he was pretty impressed. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. Go, ladies. I actually won a competition
Were you sober?
I was sober. I won a competition on a skid pan as well. I came first, and then it was 10 guys, and then the next girl. So I've always wondered if I should have had a career in racing. Maybe I should have.
So I can literally
maybe we should maybe Auto Trader should arrange a little bit of a pitted test with you, Leanne.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the same as I was in my youth, but we can give it a whirl.
Well, look, it'd be quite an interesting thing to put this team onto it. Gareth will crash the car. Sia will never get a second gear out of sharing.
No, he'll scream as he accelerates.
So Leanne may be the greatest driver we have here.
Exactly. Maybe what we should do is put all of you in some drift cars and see what you do.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve an eye test with E's that face different ways and a joystick, I'll be fine.
I would love to do this. I really, really love to do this.
I think let's talk afterward, Ben. I think this is not a bad idea. Let's see if we can get some laughs going. And we've taken Gareth drifting before. Let's see if you guys can put him to the post.
Nice.
I'm gonna go with yes.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on in the world of cars, George?
So Toyota has patented a fragrance dispenser, which looks like it's going to hit future cars that they manufacture. But this fragrance dispenser is also being patented with the ability to hit thieves with tear gas.
It's incredible. I like that.
So I think this is a good thing because hopefully that doesn't release its tear gas instead of the fragrance when the right person's in the car. But that's interesting that they patented a fragrance dispenser that can put out tear gas as well.
Smart.
Very, very smart. And then in the world of patents and cars, Ford has also patented a way in which to turn your pickup truck into a movie theater, almost like the drive-in. Mm-hmm. So there's this big screen that rolls up from the back of the cab with speakers underneath the screen, and and you're able to watch a big screen movie on the back of your Bucky. So, you know, when I saw this, I thought to myself, well, all these guys in the East Rand with their Bakuzis could now have theater days.
That's exactly what I was thinking
driving.
Of. Exactly.
What an absolute win.
only Ford.
Yeah.
It's 3 liter Ford, 2 liter Coke, 1 liter brandy.
Ideally.
Finally, there's this paint that has been developed that it's called Lumilor, you're able to switch on and off. It's a luminous paint. You're able to switch on and off like LEDs with a switch inside your car, but it's not lights, it's paint. And it illuminates by the flick of a switch inside your car, which is starting to gain a popularity in other countries. So it can do flashes. It can be set up to flash like a heartbeat. And when it's off, it just looks like regular paint.
Jeez. That gives new meaning to taxis flashing at you in the fast lane to get out the way. They might just change car color like chameleons.
The guys with their Bakuzis and screens, now yeah. They've got paint to illuminate the bottom of their car.
It all works together. Make over of notes.
Exactly.
All right, George, that's brilliant for the week. Obviously, you guys, your Monday podcast here on Cliff Central. Anything new coming up we need to look out for?
Well, we're going to start talking about the Formula One again, which I'm very excited about because there's a race coming up, so we'll be adding that to the segment. I think it's going to be a very close year when it comes to Formula One.
It should be. It may be about time now. Ferrari's got to kick on here.
Yeah. Exactly. And Vettel needs to keep his head in the game and not get too hot-headed because they have a shot. It's theirs to throw away again.
Well, again. So that's Auto Central, 9 a.m. Mondays. George, we'll catch you back in the flesh here on the show next Friday.
100%. Good stuff. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too, George. Thanks so much.
Cheers, George.
Bye. Right, that's it. Leanne, it's Friday.
Yes. Our work here is done, and it's done for the week. And now we've got Monday to look forward to.
Yay! I'm going to catch up with The Bachelor and basically be lying horizontal with no pressure on my general spine area.
Yeah, I'll get some rest.
And, I got so much medication on. Maybe that's why I sound so... No, I mean, look, I just did not...
You must have it with wine. It's nice.
Well, yesterday I had it with beer.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm going to not drink for a month now. I know it sounds stupid, but I'm retaking this whole ailment I've got seriously.
Yeah, so I had, at that point, I suppose.
I had two drafts last night, and that's the last bit of booze I'm having for a while.
Mm.
Oh, God. I feel so disoriented. Anyway, so that is your week. Gareth will be back on Monday. Sia will be back on Monday. Thank you for all your messages. I'm sorry if I missed them. And then have a lovely weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.